Turn to Romans chapter 11 again. Still on the title is still Comfort in Our Sovereign God, God's Omnipresence. The fact that God is always with His people. But actually now what we've come down to is this last point about darkness and light. The fourth one was some men's present darkness is for their future blessing.
Yes, sir.
Now let me reiterate by saying this. Had we not fallen in Adam, we would not know what the grace of God is.
Exactly.
We didn't fall in Adam by accident.
Exactly.
We fail in Adam because God was pleased to show His grace and mercy to some among the sons and daughters of Adam.
Yes, sir.
Had God been pleased to be gracious and merciful in and of His own self and not show it, we could have failed and all of us went to hell for that matter. But God was pleased to show grace and mercy to some. Remember, He created the angels. They can be tormented. Because they spoke to our Lord, "Are you come to torment us before our time?" So they can suffer, Mason. And yet God never gave even the wisp of hope to the fallen angels.
Yeah.
But yet there is hope for fallen man.
Yes, sir.
There's hope for fallen man. So we are now looking in particular at this point that some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. And I'm saying this is exemplified, it's an actual example of it in the nation of Israel. And let me read the verse, and it's Romans 11, verse 32. Well, I've read this for years. I had somewhat, David, of a grasp of the truth for years. But another thing here dawned on me as I was reading this just a few weeks ago, and I mentioned it last Sunday, Romans 11, 32. That is, this point I'm making. Some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. Look at what it says. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. And then here's the point. That He might have mercy upon all. Right? Now that's the point I'm making. But what I did not see was the first part of that and how much of a reality that must be. It says, for God hath concluded them all in what? Unbelief.
Yeah.
That is to say, they are in unbelief today. Still yet today. Israel as a nation.
Yeah.
They are in unbelief today because it was ordained that they be left in unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Even until today.
Yes, sir.
And then on top of that, I realized, for God.
Yes, sir.
You see? For God hath concluded, and as I told you, look, if you have it, if you have a center reference there to that word concluded, it says, shut them all up together.
Yeah.
For God hath shut them all up together in unbelief. Why? Just to leave them in unbelief? No, but that He might have mercy upon them all. Is that not what that says?
Yes, sir.
So is it not true that some men's present darkness is for their future blessing?
Yes, sir.
Right? We have the overall sense of that, our fallen Adam. But we have the particular example of it in the nation of Israel. Right? So as far as Romans 11 is concerned, we made it down to basically verse 15. Where Paul says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Is Paul merely hinting at a theory? What it would be if? Or is he indicating that this is the reality? The whole context of Romans 11, this is the reality. This is not hypothetical. These are the facts. Now, I want to point out something. I didn't have time last Sunday because I went well over time and then we had the Lord's table. But look at what it says. For if the casting away Wait a minute. I remember Paul wrote something about casting away already, has he not?
Yeah.
I say then, hath God cast away his people?
Yeah.
Now, there are those who read that and say, aha, here's a contradiction. And what I will say is, aha, you're still as spiritually ignorant as you've ever been.
Exactly. That's right. That's it.
Because let us read clearly. I say then, hath God cast away his people? The answer is an affirmative no. A definite, absolute no. God, now Paul's talking, let's take this in context. Paul is writing about even his present day. Right?
Oh yeah.
I say then, hath God, right now today, that's what Paul, we could add that in there. I say then, hath God cast away his people? And then the answer is absolutely not. God forbid. For I am an Israelite.
Yes, sir.
Now if God has cast away Israelites, if God has cast away Hebrews, if God's cast away Jews, then there's some separation in those meanings. But never, if God's cast away the descendants of Abraham,
yeah.
Is that clear enough? If God had cast away the descendants of Abraham, Saul of Tarsus would have never been saved.
That's right.
Exactly. For I'm also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, and now he clearly points it out, which he foreknew.
Amen.
There are some Jews, and to be more particular to the text, there are some Israelites who are not foreknown. There are some Israelites who are not elect.
Yes, sir.
God has cast them away.
Well,
you see?
Yes, sir.
So has God cast away his people? No, not the ones he foreknew.
Exactly.
Among the Israelites. Because even today, as it says in 5 and 6, even today, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There are still some Israelites that are the elect of God even today, Paul says.
Yes, sir.
And I believe because of the context of this and the whole testimony of Scripture, we can still say today, even so then, at this present time, there's also a remnant according to the election of grace.
Amen.
There are still some of the seed of Abraham naturally.
Yeah.
There are still some who are kinsmen according to the flesh from Abraham that God is still saving today.
Yes, sir.
But Paul is clear in the context of Romans 11, this is not God's finished work with Israel.
Exactly.
There is more God is going to do with and for Israel.
Yes, sir.
And it will be on a national scale. There is an elect group out there somewhere in time.
Yeah.
I don't mean out there somewhere in place, but out there somewhere in time. There is coming a time when Israel on a national scale will repent and bow to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now right now, Israel as a nation is cast away. Now we've seen Israel reformed reformed in the reform sense, but formed again as a nation.
Yeah.
Now is that to me proof the Word of God is true? No, the Word of God is true. And it was true for several hundred years when Israel was not a nation.
Exactly.
It was still true.
Yes, sir.
And I fear because this reality seems so removed from humankind that some men then force themselves to explain or interpret the Scripture in a different way. Well, then since Israel's clearly not a nation now, and that clearly could not happen, then evidently what God's doing for the Jews now is all that God's ever purposed for the Jews.
Yeah.
You get what I'm coming at? That's some men's men. All of a sudden, in 1949, what happened? Israel becomes a nation again with their own land.
Yes, sir.
Now it's about half or a little less probably, maybe less, than what was originally promised. But Mason, they're still now a nation, the nation of Israel, and they're in their own land.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the truth. It's in the day Paul wrote it, and it's still true today, as we will see from the context. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. No, right, let's stop. Does that mean that every individual that's not an Israelite has been reconciled? No. But it's the world. The world here is in contradistinction to Israel. Right. It's the Gentiles.
Yes.
For if the casting away of them, that is Israel, and this be but unbelieving Israel, because those who believed were elect at this present time.
Yes, sir.
For if the casting away of them, that is unbelieving Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what's that? The believing Gentiles, what shall the receiving, and it says of them, but that's the context, of them be is put in there, but that's the way the Greek reads. It's fine. It doesn't hurt anything. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Exactly.
You ever read Ezekiel 36 and 37?
Yes, sir.
I will call you forth out of your graves.
Yeah.
Huh? Do you think Paul just, did the Spirit, David, just give Paul some language just out of nowhere? No, he's taking this from the Word of God, the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
The receiving of them will be life from the dead. Now, granted, every Israelite who died in unbelief, and they're damned.
Yes, sir.
And the calling out of the grave, as we will see, if we're given time by God to look at Ezekiel 36 and 37, is not the physical grave from the ground, but the spiritual grave.
Yes, sir.
Anyone who dies in unbelief will go to hell.
That's it.
Period.
Amen.
Somebody says, what if they're elect? The elect don't die in unbelief. The elect die in faith.
Amen.
These all, Hebrews 11, died. All died in faith. Why? They were elect of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, they weren't elect because they died in faith. They died in faith because they were elect.
Exactly.
But the point here Paul is making, being inspired by God but not being omniscient, Paul knows there's a group of Jews out there somewhere nationally that's yet going to bow to Christ. And it will not happen until after a certain time. That's what this says. It's right here. And it will not happen until after a certain time. But since Paul did not know exactly who they were, David, as far as Paul knew, he could come back, Christ could come back at any time.
Exactly.
Now we know that now it's been almost 2,000 years. He has not returned yet. But even so then, at this present time, there's also a remnant according to the election of grace.
Amen.
And there is a time to be fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
There is a fullness to be come in. And when that fullness is come in, then God then will pour upon Israel, the Israel of that time, the spirit of supplication and of grace. And they said, why do you believe that? Because the book says so.
That's it.
And I will show you, God willing, once we get to these certain passages, that I am forced by the context of the passage to interpret it that way, because certain parts of the passage are quite literal. There are metaphors, there are figures in these passages, but they're quite evident from the passages. Therefore, in other words, you don't start interpreting one way and then get to one verse that don't fit with that interpretation, so you twist around, start interpreting a different way. You only do that when you're trying to get God's book to say what you want it to say. God's book says what it means to say.
Yes, sir.
If it doesn't, why do we even give them that? Why didn't God just give us dreams?
Yeah.
Instead of the book.
Exactly.
This book don't have to be interpreted. It is interpreted.
Yes, sir.
And it's been translated into our language, English.
Yes, sir.
So here's the point. If the casting away of those unbelieving Jews, or Israelites, Israelites the more appropriate phrase. If the casting away of those unbelieving Jews be the reconciling of the believing Gentiles, what shall it be? What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Amen.
Here's why. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump's got to be holy too.
Yes, sir. Yes.
If the lump's holy, then the root's holy. And if the root's holy, the branches are holy. Right? That's what he says.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is the first fruit? It's the Hebrew stock.
Yeah.
That's the first fruit. Yes, Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. Scripture says, and there are some who interpret, for if the first fruit be holy. But Christ is not a first fruit after this context. He's talking about life from the dead, yeah. Spiritual. Right?
Yeah.
The first Hebrew that was ever given life was called Abram.
Yeah.
He was a Hebrew. The first Israelite that was ever given life was called Jacob. And his name was changed to Israel. Let's remember, Abraham, was not an Israelite. He was a Hebrew. His descendant Jacob was the first Israelite.
Yes, sir.
Capiche?
Yeah.
First, the whole point is this. For, let me give you a couple scriptures, or one scripture. Can something unclean bring forth something that's clean? No. It's a law, it's a rule that God has established. That's why each and every one of us are born, conceived and born dead in trespasses and in sins. Because our parents were conceived and born dead in trespasses and sins. And their parents, right on down to the first two, Adam and Eve.
Exactly.
They fail.
Yes, sir.
They died. Spiritually they died. But is something that's holy, can it bring forth something unholy? By the same rule. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is
spirit
and flesh, right? No, it's spirit.
Amen.
So if the first fruit be holy, the lump's got to be holy.
Yes, sir.
The root's got to be holy. And the branches has got to be holy. Now here's the thing. We may argue on the first fruit, the lump, and the root. We may disagree on who that actually means. You know why? Because the context never defines here the first fruit, the lump, and the root. But bless our souls, it does define the branches.
Yes, sir.
It does. Doesn't it? We know who the branches are. Now, if Abraham is the first fruit, okay, and that's the whole context, is this group of Hebrews, Israelites, and then later that group split and you had Israelites and Jews, the tribe of Judah. Okay.
Yeah.
Granted, most people think of all Israelites as Jews, and overall that's in a regular or in a general sense that's true, but not in a particular sense. Remember, the kingdom of Israel was still divided when Christ came. They had never been joined back together as one. But bless God, they will be.
Yes, sir.
Ezekiel 36, 37.
Yes, sir.
It's right there in plain language. But here's the thing. Whatever branches Paul's talking about, they're holy. Now, does this mean sinless? It's not talking about sinless. Oftentimes, I know my mind, when I think of holy, I think of sinlessness.
Yeah.
And the reason I do is because I was mistaught when I was young. And it's embedded into my mind and my psyche, the way I think, and when I think holy, I think sinless. Sometimes that is the point. But it's not the point here. Holy here means, and it's the actual meaning of the word, means separate. Distinct. Different, but not just different in a general sense, but different in a particular sense. Made different. Holy. And the truth is, God is holy not just because He's sinless. One day we're going to be sinless.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But that don't mean we're going to be little gods. God is holy not simply because He's... God is sinless, but God's holiness is not His sinlessness. God's holiness is His separateness. He is totally separate and distinct from everything else.
Yes.
God is holy. Now, because He's separate and distinct from everything else, He is the only thing that is intrinsically sinless.
Yes, sir.
But be that as it may, here we get back to this. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also. And if the root holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them, that's the one still there.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. And with them, partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches.
Yeah.
That's the ones that are still there, and the ones who've been broken off.
That's right. Exactly.
You see, one thing that sadly many so-called premillennialists deny is that the church is partaking of the Jewish promises of today. Many premillennialists say the Jewish promises have nothing to do with today. But the promise for the Jews for this day was that they'd be a part of the church. This is not a second guess by God.
Exactly.
What is happening now is not something God purposed to do, because the Jews wouldn't let him have his way in the first place. What is happening today is, as Paul will say, a mystery. Or it was a mystery. And what is the mystery? That God would bless the Gentiles? Was that a mystery in the Old Testament? No. The mystery is that natural branches will be broken off and wild olive branches be grafted in among the natural olive branches that are still there and will partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
Amen.
Before Israel as a nation is ever blessed as such.
Yes,
that's the mystery.
Yes, sir.
Old Testament scripture is quite clear that God was going to bless the Gentiles with the Jews. But it is not, and it does not deal with the fact of individual branches being broken off and Gentile branches being grafted in. And that's why Paul says, "For I would not," verse 25, "for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Why? And here's the main reason why we ought to keep hammering and keep mentioning this truth. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. And let me tell you, there are a lot of God's people, I'm afraid, that are wise in their own conceits because they are ignorant of this mystery.
Exactly.
They boast themselves over the Jews.
Yeah.
God's done with them. It's all about us now.
Yeah.
And that remnant of Jews. Yeah, we'll let them have that remnant can have it too.
Yeah.
It's all about us now. No, it ain't all about us now. It's about them.
Yeah.
And God grafted us into them. Salvation is of the Jews.
Amen.
Our Lord said. Did he not?
Yes, sir. Amen.
He says, verse 18, let's get back to where we kind of left off. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root.
Yeah.
But the root bears you.
Yeah. Amen.
We ought to thank God for the Israelite race. Because we're saved by an Israelite.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we are. Our only hope is in an Israelite named Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
And the Israelites are our brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir.
We're the wild cousins.
Exactly.
They're the brothers and sisters. We're the cousins.
That's right.
Now let us note, it's still a wild olive tree. God didn't graft an apple tree into the olive tree.
Exactly.
He didn't graft a wild apple tree into an olive tree. He grafted a wild olive branch into the natural olive tree.
Amen.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
I was speaking to a brother the other day, and we were talking about this, and on some things we disagree, and I made it the point. He said, I'm not Israel. If I am, I'm a natural branch. Right?
That's it.
But I'm not even a natural branch. I'm a wild olive branch, but bless God, I've been grafted into the olive tree. And let me say this again for us, lest we become proud.
Yeah.
That's the word, wise in your own conceits.
Exactly.
Don't become proud. Don't look down. And to be proud doesn't mean you just look highly on yourselves or on yourself. It means you look down on others.
Exactly.
Right? That's one of the worse. That's the problem with pride. It's not just you set yourself up to be something. You set yourself up to be something better or more than someone else.
Exactly.
That's the problem with pride. God has pride, and He has the right to have pride.
Exactly.
We don't.
Sir.
Folks, not against the branches. Not any of them. He didn't say the broken ones or the ones still there, did He? Don't boast against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now that's true.
Yes, sir.
But you better be careful how you say it.
Exactly.
You remember, Joe, you talking about doing the commandment?
Yeah.
The motive for doing the commandment? Yeah. What's the motive behind this?
Exactly.
Well, Paul says, because of unbelief they were broken off. Thou standest, how? By faith.
Yeah.
Be not high-minded, but fear.
Yes,
don't be proud. Lay down in the dust before God.
Exactly.
Fear God. For if God spared not the natural branches. Now you don't hear too many people talking about this.
Yeah.
For if God spared not the natural branches. Now what natural branches? The ones that were broken off. The unbelieving Israelites.
Yeah.
Right? For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee.
Yes.
Now, is He talking about elect and reprobate? No, He's talking in general terms about you Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
You get to bragging against or over the Jews, you best be careful. God broke off some of the natural branches.
Yeah.
You think God can't break you off? For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God.
Amen.
On them which fail, God was severe.
Yes, sir.
Right? How much? He broke them off. They died in their sins. They went to hell.
Yes, sir.
On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Now, I know He's not talking about elect and reprobate. That right here is not the question. You see, when a Gentile says, well, we're it. We're the fulfillment of it all. What are we doing?
Yeah.
We're boasting against the branches that were broken off.
Yes, sir.
We're boasting against Israel. This is all about, you were broken off so I could get in. Now, they were broken off, and God put us in their place right now.
Yes, sir.
But He's able to graft back in again.
Exactly.
Right? Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fail, God was severe. Severity. But on thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And let me tell you, one of these days, God will cut the Gentiles off.
Yes, sir.
This is not an empty threat. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. And what does Paul, let me just stop and get ahead of myself. What does Paul say? God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon them all.
Amen.
They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
Yes, sir.
For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? That makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
There is no need for me to interpret that to you. It's here. You Gentiles don't boast against the Jews. Don't brag about your faith. It was a gift of God.
Amen.
Don't brag about your repentance. It was granted to you from God.
Amen.
Don't boast about being in the olive tree because you were grafted in contrary to nature.
Yes, sir.
Now, in nature, when you graft something in to another thing, you don't take a good tree and then cut the place for the graft and take a bad tree, a bad branch, and graft it into a good tree. It's pointless.
Yeah.
You take a bad tree that is bad at maybe producing fruit, but yet it's hardy, It may not produce Mason great good fruit, but it's a hardy tree. It can withstand difficulties and problems. So what, you take that bad tree and then you cut the grass by, and you take a good branch and you graft it into the bad tree. Therefore, this new branch produces the fruit the size of its original natural thing, but it has the hardiness and the strength of the other tree. That's the way you graft things in. But see, as God is, God always does things contrary to nature.
Exactly.
He took the wild olive branches and grafted them into the natural olive tree.
Good.
Why? Because the fruit's not going to be of us.
Exactly.
The fruit's going to be of God.
Exactly.
It doesn't depend on the fact that, yes, I'm a wild olive branch, and I ain't worth a hoot at producing good fruit.
Exactly.
But I will if I'm God's wild olive branch.
Yeah.
See, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now here's the question. Paul is saying this can happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Am I going beyond anything? This can happen. Now the question is when?
Yeah.
Right? If it can happen, David, then naturally we think. Logically, we think. Even rationally, we think. Well, when? When? For I would not, brethren, he's going to answer the question. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's when.
Yes, sir.
Now, there is no date. There are no great signs, but the time is still given when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, what's the context?
Yeah.
The fullness of what Gentiles?
Yeah.
What's the context? The fullness of the Gentiles who are wild olive branches being taken out of the wild olive tree and being grafted in to the natural olive tree.
Sir.
What are they called? What are we called? The church.
Yes, sir.
Right? The church. Now, here's the point. That blindness in part. Now, is this to say that some elect Jews are partially blinded? What's this partial blindness? The partial blindness is an Israeli thing. It's an Israelite thing. A part of Israel. And at that time, even now, it's the greater part of Israel. Because there's only a remnant.
Yeah. Exactly.
As a matter of fact, the scripture makes it out to be, compared to the whole, a small number. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until. So what happens? This partial blindness will be done away with.
Yeah.
Right? Blindness has happened. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until. So when that until arrives, then partial blindness will what? Be removed. Now let me just stop a moment and say, there are two reasons. I gave you one reason why we need to continually be aware of this. I'm not saying I got to get up here and preach it every Sunday. It's not the point. The point is, and the message is, Christ. And I hope that even this morning, Christ has been my central theme. But the point is, first of all, one, Gentiles don't brag. Right? That's one point. And secondly, God has always saved everyone. Individually or collectively. Whatever. If God saves, He saves everybody the exact same way.
Yes, sir.
By grace.
Amen.
Through faith. From the first one to the last one, David, it'll all be the same way.
Yes, sir.
So the way God saved Israel before is the way God's saving Israel now. And the way God's saving Israel now is the way God's saving Gentiles now. And the way God's going to save Israel in the future is the way God's always saved Israel and the Gentiles. Right?
Yes, sir.
And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This partial blindness will be taken away when the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. And so, all Israel shall be saved.
Amen.
Notice Paul didn't say is being saved. we shall be. That always indicates two things, two definite things. The absolute fact that it will happen.
Yes, sir.
And the fact that it is yet to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
No.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Now you can say, you can have a shall with a present tense.
No.
But you don't say shall. You say is.
That's right.
Right? If you use a shall, it's still absolute, but it's later.
Exactly.
Right? If you use a is, it's absolute, but it's present. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is, why? Because it's written, because God said so.
Yeah.
Why do you preach that? What does it matter? Because God said so.
Amen.
And because if God's not faithful to them, how's he going to be faithful to us? What do we have to rest on? So all Israel shall be saved. That is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Amen.
For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And now, we can stop there and say, well, but Christ took away our sins at the cross. And that's true.
Yes, sir.
That's the foundation. But that's not the context here. The context here is what God does, not for his people, but what he does to his people. That's the context here. He's talking about not the foundation of our salvation, but the experiencing of our salvation. That's the whole context here, right? A remnant today, a remnant back then, a people yet then, and the Gentiles even today.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about being saved, David, today.
Yeah.
Right? For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. But that's not just Walter's explanation. Here, look. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes.
Amen.
For the gifts and the calling of God are without change. Yeah. And that's our only hope.
Yes, sir.
That's my hope as a Gentile.
Yes, sir.
Well, if God could break off natural branches, he can break off wild olive branches.
Yes, sir.
And Paul says he could do so.
Oh, yeah.
And one day he will do so. One day this salvation of Jew and Gentile into the church will come to an end. It'll come to an end. It'll have its fullness.
Exactly.
Why? Because the gifts and calling of God are without change. For as ye in time past have not believed, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. So their unbelief was a benefit to us. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't believe it really means that. Well, then you don't know what the Bible means then.
Right.
If you don't believe it means what it says, then you have no idea what it says. And you can't.
Exactly.
Because show me the man with the halo around his head that is your interpreter. This book means what it says. And it will use everyday common language to mean what it says. And it will use, if it does use symbols and metaphors and types and figures, it will be those common to the day in which the writer wrote. It may not be a symbol we're acquainted with, but it will be a symbol that the people of their day were acquainted with. If you go back and study a little, you'll find that out. You'll find out what they used as symbols and metaphors and figures and types. This book is not full of symbols and types. It's full of Christ.
Amen.
It has symbols and types and metaphors.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we've benefited from their unbelief. Even so, verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath shut them all up in unbelief. God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on them all. And finally, I think, is it finally the Spirit realizes Paul has been revealed about all he can handle. That's why. Can you imagine this, Mason? Paul's mind has been filled, and now the Spirit moves Paul to just stop the facts about eschatology and just stop for a moment and praise God for who
yes.
he is.
Yes,
huh? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And you remember what I told you last week about how Christ said, I thank thee. But you know what? We cannot do that as he did.
Exactly.
I tried to stress that. We ought to, but we cannot. But see, I look back. Elizabeth and I look back, and I look at now, and I think, how could that person have any hope? Look at where they are. Look at how they conduct. Look at how they think. Look at how they believe.
Yeah.
But guess what? Look at how some Israelites act. Look at how they conduct themselves. Look at how they believe. Joe, look at those Pharisees that believe. That not believe, but were distorting the Word of God, His commandments. Saul of Tarsus was one of them.
Yes, sir.
I think of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. This foundation stands sure. Even though I might not, God knows them that are His.
Amen.
And they're okay. Even though they may not be where we think they ought to be right now, they're exactly, go back to the whole context, comfort in our sovereign God, they're exactly where God ordained for them to be at this time.
Yes, sir.
And that's why Paul could say, this ain't no just fanciful wish, brethren, chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know why I could say, think that and pray that? Because they will be one day.
Yes, sir.
They will be.
For
who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Does that include unbelief, preacher? That includes unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Because it's included in this, right? God has shut them up. What? Didn't God do a kind of a likewise, a very similar thing about us Gentiles? Look at it. Galatians, my time's up. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
Amen.
You see, as we will see in the next six verses, God created us. And we begin exactly where God wants us to be. And you know where that is? Fallen. We begin right there. Right there. And we stay that way until God Almighty in His sovereign purpose has designed for something to change.
Yes, sir.
And when He did, it'll change.
Exactly.
Granted, my problem is I am so impatient, I can't wait to see it happen for somebody else. That's my problem. My problem's not that I hate God's purpose. Now, by nature, yes. But as a believer, Mason, my problem's not I hate God's purpose. I'm just impatient with God's purpose. And I know if God's pleased to damn someone I care greatly for, He will, and there ain't a blessed thing I can do about it. But I'm glad, and I've come to this, I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad I don't know. Some people's been told. It's very few. Some people have been told. Abraham was told that about his son Ishmael. Rebekah was told that about her son Esau.
Yes, sir.
Right? They knew. But I don't know if that makes life any easier or not. I don't think it would. Would it you? It's nice to have hope.
Yes,
and let me tell you something. If God chose someone in Christ before the world began, they will come to faith and repentance in Christ in time.
Yes. Amen.
Why? Because for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I mean, there are even people who attend here and I think, God, come on and do it. Come on, Lord, I'm waiting. The problem is I'm not.
That's right.
I'm not waiting. I'm trying to rush God. Right? Oh, for not just faith, but patience. But you know what works patience? Trouble. Trouble. And it's troubling when you see not only the way other folks act, but when you see the way you act yourself.
Exactly.
But one thing's sure, the gifts and the calling of God are without change.
Amen.
God willing, next time we will then look at Ezekiel 36 and 37 and see. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, we're going to see what the receiving of them will be. that is life from the dead. God willing. Father, I pray that you not only instruct us in these things, but Lord, comfort us through them. And may that comfort be always centered in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen.